The prison escapee manhunt ends in New York State with an inmate captured.
Let's give a big round of applause to the men and women of law enforcement.
There's a terror threat for the U.S. that coincides with July 4th.
I wouldn't be surprised if we're sitting here a week from today talking about an attack.
And in Greece, the fiscal crisis hits people in their wallets.
Banks closed and a 60-euro limit to ATM withdrawals.
Good morning. I'm Dave Barrett with the CBS World News Roundup.
The nightmare is finally over.
It took more than 3 weeks to end a prison drama in New York State. A firearms instructor was on duty in the massive manhunt, and he challenged the escapee who finally wound up out of territory to hide in.
I'm Jim Krasul in the North Country of New York. A state trooper on routine patrol spotted prison escapee David Sweat jogging along a road a mile and a half from the Canadian border. State Police Superintendent Joseph D'Amico.
He realized that Sweat was going to make it to a tree line and possibly could have disappeared, and he fired two shots from his service weapon, his handgun, hitting Sweat twice in the torso.
David Sweat is now listed in critical condition at a hospital in Albany, New York. Jim Krasul says about 35 miles from where Sweat had gone missing back on June 6th.
Hundreds gathered in the cold and rain outside the Clinton Correctional Facility cheering law enforcement for finally tracking down escapees David Sweat and Richard Matt.
We're glad it's over. I'm sick of worry.
David Sweat's mother says if her son had wanted sanctuary at her house, he would not have gotten it.
My son knows that if he would have came here, I would have knocked him out and had them guys take him to jail by themselves. Because that's just the way I am. I've always done it to him when he was bad.
This search took more than 3 weeks, and state police believe that Sweat and Richard Matt used pepper to throw off the scent and confuse tracking dogs. Back behind bars in North Carolina, convicted murderer Christopher Mitchell. Officials say a kitchen worker at the Brown Creek Correctional Institution helped Mitchell escape on Saturday, and yesterday he was spotted walking on a road 80 miles north of the prison and was arrested. Less than 2 days of freedom could mean Mitchell will do up to 3 more years on his sentence. He was scheduled for release in 2018. With the Independence Day weekend approaching, there's a threat of coordinated terror attacks in this country.
These kind of warnings go out routinely, but there's nothing routine about this particular one to me.
Michael Morrell is CBS News senior security contributor. He says there are a couple of reasons for his level of concern.
There's been about 50 people in the last 12 months who've been arrested in the United States for being radicalized by ISIS, wanting to go fight there or wanting to conduct an attack here, number one. And then number two, you have this ISIS call to arms during Ramadan. We are right in the middle of Ramadan. Call to arms, conduct attacks against our enemies.
Overseas, the financial crisis in Greece is affecting residents. To avoid a run on banks, customers have had access to their funds limited by the government. Here's CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Greek banks are going to be closed for a week. The stock exchange closed at least Monday, and the Greek government has imposed something called capital controls. That limits how much money individuals can withdraw from their accounts. We are hearing that maybe as little as $66 a day per account.
This action follows a call for a Greek referendum next weekend to address creditor proposals on reform. That vote would come days after tomorrow's deadline when an international bailout program expires. The deadline, a day away to get a deal with Iran to limit that country's nuclear ambitions. Secretary of State John Kerry is in Vienna, and so is correspondent Margaret Brennan.
Kerry needs to present an airtight agreement in order to avoid having Congress reject it. And negotiators tell us this is the last best chance to secure what could be a legacy-defining deal for President Obama.
Stateside, a resupply mission to the International Space Station ended in failure. A couple of minutes into the flight, a SpaceX rocket launched from Florida blew up. Correspondent Peter King with the details.
There was an early indication of what went wrong, SpaceX President Gwynne Shotwell.
We saw some pressurization indications in the second stage, which we'll be tracking down.
But she says it'll take time to pinpoint a cause, and for now, Falcon 9 rockets are grounded. It's the third loss for station suppliers in 8 months, program manager Mike Suffredini.
Having three this close together is not what we'd hoped for.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The heavy rain and winds that ripped through Michigan's lower peninsula snapped a lot of power lines over the weekend. DTE Energy's Scott Simon says
there's 22,000 customers right now from 158,000. We'll have the vast majority of those back by late tonight.
Another funeral today in Charleston, South Carolina for church shooting victim Myra Thompson. It'll be held at the Emmanuel AME Church where the attack occurred. Thompson's husband faced suspect Dylan Roof last week, and Roof's courtroom video appearance told the alleged gunman that he forgave him. The current Supreme Court term is winding down. What's left to decide? Here's correspondent Barry Bagnato.
The climax already has occurred here with the release of two momentous decisions on the Affordable Care Act and same-sex marriage. Three rulings remain. The court will decide whether the Environmental Protection Agency must consider costs when it formulates clean air regulations. It will announce whether the use of a controversial sedative for death penalty lethal injections is cruel and unusual punishment. And it will determine whether states can remove redistricting powers from legislature politicians and give them to independent commissions. Barry Bagnato, CBS News. The Supreme Court.
How do you and your kids make healthy choices to avoid tipping the scales at too high a number? Live to CBS's Vicki Barker with more on some childhood obesity recommendations.
New guidance from the American Academy of Pediatrics calls fighting childhood obesity a family affair and says prevention is as important as a cure. Among the tips, wrap high-calorie foods in tin foil and stash them out of reach in the back of the fridge. Put healthy snacks in easy reach. Ditch sodas and sweetened fruit drinks. Control portion sizes. And, of course, limit that online or couch potato time. Encourage your kids to exercise more. Dave?
Lots of evacuations in central Washington state where a wildfire is being pushed by strong winds. Darren Wright's a trooper with the state patrol.
The heat and very dry conditions is not helping the problem. We have several thousand people that have been evacuated from their homes. We have 0% containment at this time.
And several structures have been damaged or destroyed. Here in the early summer driving season, gas prices are down. Analyst Trilby Lundberg.
Gasoline prices have slipped by 2 cents in the past 2 weeks to $2.85. There's plenty of supply and refiners are running at a very hot rate, 94% of capacity.
He could really drive the electric bass. A mainstay in a classic rock band has died.
Chris Squire was born in London. He began his music career as a choir boy. He founded the progressive rock group Yes in 1968, and as a bass player was the only member of the group to feature on every studio album, a journey of nearly five decades. Last month, Squire revealed he was diagnosed with leukemia. The band describes his death as utterly devastating. Chris Squire was 67. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
At last night's BET Awards, Janet Jackson won the Ultimate Icon Music Dance Visual Award.
My heart is so full. Thank you, God, for making...
Janet Jackson with her first public appearance in quite a while. Beyonce won three times on the night. That's the World News Roundup for Monday, June 29th. I'm Dave Barrett, CBS News.